In the book of Micah, chapter 4, take my text tonight, but a vision for a fresh start, a vision for a new beginning, letting God stir our hearts and stir our lives. And since we found out this morning there's a lot of stuff that we can be preoccupied with, we need to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Every weight, every sin, everything in our life that would hinder our race and our walk and our run for Jesus Christ, we need to get rid of it and lay it aside. So in Micah chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass, the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. We will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth in Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I do understand that this prophecy is concerning the millennial restoration of the people and the lands. Isaiah also spoke of this in chapter 2 in his writings. But I believe that there is something we can learn from this passage of Scripture that is very applicable to where we are today and is very relevant to where we are today. I believe that this is a message to the church and to God's people, relevant to the life today in view of these last days that you and I are living in. If we can have our spiritual eyes open to the point that Elisha prayed for his servant, that God would show us this the importance of this last day restoration and this last day time. I'm not here to spread any bad news, but to let you know there ain't nothing but good news ahead for the child of God. But I do want to share with you, and I don't know if any of you heard this or read this, but I found out today in a very applicable news report that when the guys, our military, left Iraq, and we left billions of dollars of equipment there, we left $1 billion of weaponry there, and all kinds of things that we left there, literally billions of dollars. But I found out today that in an exclusive interview that is a minute concern to us of all those billions of weaponry that was left there. For the main thing that America left there could be held in the palm of your hand. And they now have control, one of those ruthless dictators or terrorists in the world has access to it and holds it within the palm of his hand, and in an instant of time, and there's already intelligence that is telling us that they are targeting America, that will shut down the power grid in sections or as a whole. They are already targeting America. I don't know if you understand it or not, but if that happens, our kids are no longer going to have laptops or cell phones. I don't know if you understand it or not, but in 100-degree weather, you're no longer going to have a fan. I don't know if you understand it or not, but the grocery shelves are going to be stripped clean. I'm just here to tell you today that there's a lot of things on the horizon that we don't know about, but God's still in control. I said, God's still in the control. There's a lot of things that we don't know that's hid from the public eyes. And of course, things like that, the media is not going to tell you. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we need to look to Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives and be prepared to meet God and to know that regardless of what happens, we've already made up our mind that we're going to serve Jesus Christ. Hello? So with that being said, prayerfully talk to God and ask God if there's any preparations you need to do outside of your spiritual life, which is first. Hello? That's just an insert. Just want you to know you need to be informed. Okay? It's real. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. happening, and there's people that literally hate you, especially those that serve God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Big difference, ain't there, Brother Larry? Big difference. I know in whom I trust and whom I believe, and He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, back to the message. Isaiah spoke of these writings that I read to you in Micah 4, 1 and 2. He spoke of those things, and I believe that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, in this hour that we're living in, we need to bring those things into view. We need to have a new vision. We need to have a new view of a new beginning, of a fresh start for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to make it known to those around about us that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We need to lift our heads and look up because our redemption draweth nigh. He said, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, look up. It's not a time to dig a hole in the ground and stick our head in it and play like nothing's happening, but it's time that we prepare. It's time that we look up. It's time that we look to the Savior. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it said, where there is no vision, no redemption, a revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to him he is blessed. Unfortunately, the vision that has been lost from the pulpit to the pew. I said, unfortunately, there has been a vision that has been lost from the pulpit to the pew. And whether through negligence or the case that the Bible speaks of where men become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, we need to shake ourselves and pay attention to what's happening around about us. Church, we need a new beginning. The vision must be pronounced. The leaders must bring proclamation to the Word of God. And the people, you and I as a child of God, blood-bought, ready to go to heaven, must catch that vision in these last hours that we're living in. I believe that this prophecy of Micah here in chapter 4, it has a vision of God's outline for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this last hour. The house of the Lord must become a strategic place to reach lost souls. The house of the Lord must become a place of influence. Somebody's got to say amen there. Amen. It's time the church of the house of God become an influence to the world. And it must be a place where God's people come to become, get equipped to face the challenging times of our day. I need to repeat that again. It must be a strategic place. It must be a place of influence. It must be a place where God's people come together to get equipped to face the challenging times where we're living in. The vision that God gives His people often comes like birth of a baby. It takes a long time in coming, but if we are patient and wait on God's timing, He will successfully communicate the vision He has for His people. To break all this down for you and I today, as we look into the Word of God of Micah in his recordings and in his words, in verse number 1, it says that the Lord's house shall be established. There was a time when God's people meant something for those around about them. Is anybody alive tonight? Amen. Are you awake? Winter's a long ways off, so there's no time for a winter's nap right now. Anybody in this place Pentecost? No. Will you preach with me then? Yeah. Preach with me for just a little bit. We're going to get this. We've got to get excited about what God's doing. We've got to get excited. There's a fresh vision and there's a fresh new start that we need to. We need to get a hold of some spiritual jumper cables and charge our batteries. Well, where was I? Battery chargers. That's right. Battery chargers. Looking at Micah in verse number 1, in this hour that we're living in, it needs to be established in God's house. There's a time when God's people meant something to the people around about them, to their community, to their state, to their nation. There was a time when people would come to the house of God to receive God's word. There was a time that the church was respected and viewed as valid, concrete information. There was a time that when God spoke, people listened. There was a time that they come to God's house, they hear God's word. But today, we have been laughed at because we have become the laughing stock of our society, because we don't have enough of the power of God to blow the fuzz off a peanut. But it's time we get a fresh start. I believe the reason is the same for what we're seeing in our world today and in the church world today that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And that is a child, Samuel, ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days because there was no open vision. Listen, church, it wasn't that God wasn't speaking. It was because people wasn't listening. Goes back to my message this morning. Too busy. Too self-absorbed. More concerned about being socially attractive rather than heavenly influence. After 39 years, I don't get too shook up when people don't say amen, because I know you're listening. Hallelujah. Glory, even in Pentecost. Hello? We become so self-absorbed. Church has become too concerned about being socially attractive rather than heavenly influence. Don't get me wrong. We need desperately to reach people. But the influence that we have must come from God. Out of our lives and out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water, but like a lot of creeks right now, they're all dried up. Yeah. Kind of like the grass that Sister Kim talked about. Sister Kim, we'd send you some, but we're in the same shape you're in. Hello? The influence must come from God. Out of our lives, not from our own self-sufficiency, because we are nothing and we have lost sight of the vision of God, what He has for us. And until we get back to Him, we will not have the influence, and we will not be effective, and we'll be nothing more than just a social club. But I'm here to tell you today that the power of the Holy Ghost is just as real today as it was on the day of Pentecost. The fifth verse of Micah chapter 4 says, "For all the people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, little g. And we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, capital G, forever and ever." Amen. Excuse me. Pardon me for just a second. I want to speak clearly so I can be an influence. Micah chapter 4, verse 5, I'll read it again. "For all the people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, little g, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God, capital G, forever and ever." As a part of the influence we need to be in this day, in this hour, the Word says the others will follow their own idols, but we will follow after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Lord, forever and ever. This reminds me of Joshua's challenge to the children of Israel when he said in Joshua 24 and 15, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood, the God of the Amorites, in the land you would dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God." Amen. We're going to serve God. Church, for us to be an influence in our world today, we need to be as follows, is what the Word of God says. We need to be as followers after the things of God to catch the vision, to get a new start, a brand new look at the things that God has prepared for the church in this last hour. Listen, God wasn't caught off guard by all this stuff that's in our world today. God wasn't caught off guard just because COVID happened to sling into our community. God wasn't caught off guard because the Democrats are acting like idiots in Washington, D.C. Now, if you disagree with me that they're acting like idiots, then we'll talk about it, okay? But I don't think anybody can deny that. And it's not just the Democrats. Hello? I know. Pastor, you get up on this political stuff. But it's time the church get involved. I said it's time the church get involved. Remember, you're looking at me, what in the world is he going to say next? Well, I'm glad you said that, because here it comes. We must catch the vision. We must follow the prescribed outline of the commandments so that we can be effective for Jesus Christ. What I was trying to say, God wasn't caught off guard. He knew what was coming, when it was coming, and He has the equipment to prepare the church to face these challenging times in our life that we're living in. We need a clear vision and a clear picture of where we're at today and what's happening. And we must have the ability to see that vision through the eyes of God. Number two, people must be committed. Look at your neighbor and say, we've got to be committed. We must be committed. We must have the ability to transmit that vision to others around about us. Number three, we must be consistent in our prayer life. And be able to intercede that vision to those around about us and to our family. Number four, we must have a constructive passion. Hello? A passion. Anybody have a passion here tonight? Passion. We have a lot of passions in our world today, but not a whole lot for Christ. We need to have a passion for Jesus Christ. We must have the ability to work toward that vision that God has given us. Listen, there's a vision that we must follow in this hour that we're living in. There's lost souls everywhere we go. We can take and follow the trend of the world and be hateful like the rest of the world is in this crazy time, or we can bear the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ and reach out to those that so desperately need His touch. Number five, one must possess a calm persistence. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear. A song that they just sung, Brother Chris just sung, praise team. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear. We must possess a calm persistence because God's in control. If people threaten to kill you, what are they going to do? Send you to heaven? That's not beyond our world today. But if you die, you're just going to go to heaven if you've got the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. So we must have a calm persistence. We must have the ability to be patient and wait for the vision and for that vision to be exposed in our life that we transcend it to others around about us. Here's the vision of this church in these last days. A description in the first two verses of Micah chapter 4. The church will become a strategic place. I'm recapping again and being a little bit more explicit. The church will become a strategic place with the world. That's what's been prophesied. That's a prophecy that's written on the back wall in the hallway. With the world and the mess that it's in, where else can we find the hope? Others of Jesus Christ, with others of Jesus Christ. And we can't afford not to let the Lord speak through us in this last day. The picture is clear. The world as a whole is rocking and reeling in their drunkenness, and they desperately need someone to show them Jesus Christ. The church, secondly of all, must become a place of influence once again. Once again, the church must become a place of influence. A people that has become committed and is consistent will be a driving force in leading souls back to the Savior. Church, we must be open to hear and learn from the Word of God and adapt to what God wants us to do right now. We cannot be an influence by the world and its system. We cannot have that influence. We must choose to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in His paths. And listen, I'm here to tell you, it's not out of date. He told the children of Israel to seek for the old paths and walk therein. We must walk therein. Number three, God's house must once again become a place where the saints are equipped to do spiritual battle. I'm talking spiritual battle. I'm not talking about just here going through the motions. I'm talking about spiritual battle. Listen, church, the devil is playing for keeps, and you need to get that through your head right now and understand that He is playing for keeps, but greater is He that's within me than he that is in the world. The Scriptures here tell us and says that He will teach us as we walk in His path. This is the way we are living in the times of the vision where it isn't clear. We aren't listening to nobody. We aren't going and doing our own thing. We aren't going to committees because we may have something else to do. But we're excited and we're passionate about the things of God. And we have made up our mind that we're going to serve God regardless of what the rest of the world does. So I ask you today, how bad do you want God to move in your life? How bad do you want God to move in your church? How bad do you want God to move in your family? How bad do you want to see the move of the Holy Ghost like you haven't seen in a long, long time? How bad do you want the power of the Holy Ghost to totally captivate your life and lead you in every direction and every path? How bad do you want to see your loved ones saved? How bad do you want to hear from God? How bad do you want to make heaven your home? How bad do you want a fresh start and a new beginning? Can I tell you something, church? Till you catch the vision, you'll never experience a new start. And you'll never see the vision with envy and strife in your heart. Your new beginning will never begin if you're not given all to Jesus Christ. It will never begin if you have hard feelings against someone. If you're gossiping, if you're keeping things stirred up, your new beginning will never begin if your business dealings lack integrity. Our chapter is everything less than godly. Our character is anything less than godly. But I believe that there's a church that's marching forward that's ready to catch the vision of what God has for this last time. I said, there's a people that's hungry and passionate to catch the vision of what God has in this last hour that we're living in. Listen, I'm not telling you a cartoon story. I'm not telling you something that's far-fetched. I'm not telling you something that's going to happen in 100 years from now. I'm telling you it's happening now. I'm not telling you when the rapture's taking place, but I'm telling you in all these things we're seeing, it's happening now. And God's Word says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, when you see them begin to come to pass, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. So how bad do you want the move of God and the Spirit of God? How many can remember when the Spirit of God took over in the church, in the sanctuary, and He just had His way? People were seeking God, crying. The Holy Ghost was moving, speaking to our hearts and lives. How many remembers those times? How many hungers for them to come back? How bad do you want it? I totally believe and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's available to those that want it bad enough. God's waiting on you to reveal Himself to His church that's starved to death for a fresh start. His desire to give you the vision for the journey that lies ahead of you. So I tell you tonight in closing, allow His house to once again become a strategic place for His power to touch hearts and lives. When was the last time you seen the sinner grab the back of the pew, or grab the pew in front of him, the back of it, and hang on until his knuckles turn white under the power of God, and he runs to the altar and give his life to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you've seen a believer lift his hands and the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon them and charged them with that fresh anointing from the throne of God? When was the last time you got hungry enough to stay till the power fell? We must allow His house to become once again a place of influence, and allow God to equip us for the work of a New Testament church in this hour that we live. I know we've had prayer meeting, we've come early, but it's still early and I didn't preach to you too long tonight. I wonder tonight, I mean, come to the altar and you just pour your heart out to God and say, God, I need a fresh new start. I need a new beginning. Challenge me. Challenge my heart. Challenge my mind. Lord, let my life represent You in every day and every hour that I live. Would you come spend some time around the altar? Just ask God, where am I at? Where do I need to be?